The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church, USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, March 23rd through Sunday, March 29th, 2026. The commentary for March was written by Mike Angell, who serves as the rector of St. Michael and All Angels in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Previously, he served in St. Louis and on the staff of the presiding bishop for young adults and college students. He is a writer, husband, dad, and advocate with a passion for justice and finding God in unexpected places. The commentary for Monday, March 23rd, begins with a passage from the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 10. But Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. Here's the commentary for today. About this time in the calendar, the week before Holy Week, many preachers are fretting about what they will say for Easter. There is a certain pressure about the Easter sermon. The pews are fuller with parishioners, having dragged in family and neighbors. Folks we haven't seen in years are in the church. What can we say that will make a difference? In moments like this, it is helpful to remember that Moses told God, I have never been eloquent. And somehow, Moses' words still helped set his people free. No measure of great preaching is likely to make the pews on the first Sunday after Easter as full as on Easter Sunday. If you're a preacher, trust that God will give you the words you need. Welcome the children. Care for the stranger. Bring hope. If you're not a preacher, be kind to the preachers out there this week. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel for this day. It's from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 30 through 41. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again. But they will not understand what he was saying, and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, What were you arguing about on the way? But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, Whoever wants to be first must be last and servant of all. Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able to soon afterward speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink, because you bear the name of Christ, will by no means lose the reward. And the moving forward question for this Monday is, how can I rely less on my words and more on the Spirit of God? Now the commentary for Tuesday, March 24th, the day we commemorate Oscar Romero and the martyrs of El Salvador. It begins with a passage from Exodus 5, verse 9. Let heavier work be laid on them. They will labor at it and pay no attention to deceptive words. You probably have heard the story of Oscar Romero, the Archbishop of El Salvador, who ordered the armed forces and the elite of his country to stop the repression. Poor farmers and laborers in El Salvador were organizing to have their rights recognized, and they were being disappeared and murdered in response. Like so many other Salvadorians, Romero paid with his life. He was killed by an assassin's bullet on this day in 1980. You may not know that the next bishop in El Salvador tore Romero's pulpit out of the cathedral. A group of women volunteers saved it. They created a space in the basement, and now each Sunday a service is held in that space, honoring Romero's message of liberation. When God's people are suffering, God calls all of us, even the unlikely, to act. And now I'm going to read from today's Gospel, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 42 through 50. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell. Worm never dies, and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, how can you act to lighten the load of someone carrying unjustly heavy work? Now let's turn to the commentary for Wednesday, March the 25th, the day on which we celebrate the Annunciation. It begins with a passage from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 38. Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Today marks 9 months until Christmas, so we pause to honor Mary. Luke's Gospel contains one of the most radical lines in all of Scripture. Let it be. Mary consents. Mary lives in a time when women are not often treated as people with agency. They don't have control over much. Their work isn't paid. Women are not free to make their own decisions, even about their own bodies. And yet here we see Mary, who, with God, makes a choice. It matters that Mary consents. It matters that the Gospels make room for her to have a vision and a voice for what will be. It means the Mother of God is treated as a full person, with dignity and hopes of her own. And now I'm going to read the Gospel passage from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph. of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, the Feast of the Annunciation: to what in your life have you offered radical consent with God? The commentary for Thursday, March 26th, begins with a passage from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, chapter 8, verse 2. "If you refuse to let them go, I will plague your whole country with frogs." Did you know there is a serious discussion among some rabbis about whether it was many frogs that were a plague to Egypt or just one giant frog? I advocated with rabbi colleagues in Missouri for human rights, and when we were frustrated with the state legislature, we like to imagine a green, slimy creature preparing to devour the Capitol building. Jesus' words to the rich man, "You lack just one thing," might have felt like a plague. Hearing that, he not only needed to honor the commandments, but also sell his possessions, must have felt overwhelming. The man walks away. In all he says about wealth, Jesus' final words are key: "The last shall be first." Remember, whether it was one frog or millions of frogs, they appeared so God's people could be freed. A willingness to give away what we have is necessary for Christians who believe the work of faith is about lifting up the lowly. God always invites us to take a side with those who need to be set free. And now I'm going to read Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 31, the gospel for this Thursday. "As he was sitting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother.' He said to him, 'Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth.' Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, 'You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me.' When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God.' And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first." And the moving forward question for this day is, what images from the Bible have surprised you? The commentary for Friday, March 27th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 37. "And they said to him, 'Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory.'" The Jesuit Daniel Berrigan used to tell his fellow activists, "If you are going to follow Jesus, you better look good on wood." James and John don't know what it is they are asking of Jesus in today's story. Jesus has been explaining what is about to happen, how he is about to be led away to die, and all they seem to be concerned about is power and status. Though they ask to sit his right and left, they don't understand what it means to remain at Jesus' side in the days to come. As we approach the holiest week of the Christian year, when we tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, it is worthwhile to imagine ourselves in James and John's shoes and in those of the other disciples as well. How often do we contemplate the ask of our faith to give our lives away? Where will we be on Good Friday? And I'm going to read the full passage from Mark chapter 10, verses 32 to 45. "They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again.' James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, 'Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you.' And he said to them, 'What is it you want me to do for you?' And they said to him, 'Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory.' But Jesus said to them, 'You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' They replied, 'We are able.' Then Jesus said to them, 'The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared.' When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, 'You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And the moving forward question for this Friday, where do you see yourself in the story as you approach Holy Week? The commentary for Saturday, March 28th, begins with a passage also from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 47. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Today is the last breath before the big push of Holy Week. I once heard a mentoring priest say to the congregation, "Your Easter joy will be in direct proportion to the amount of time and energy you invest in Holy Week." Over the years, I have found that these words ring true, especially for those who are busy behind the scenes. This week, the choir will no doubt have extra rehearsals, and the altar and flower guilds will strain under the additional services. Liturgical leaders will prepare multiple sermons, and the parish administrators will pray that the photocopier holds out until the last bulletin is printed. And on Easter morning, even if bleary-eyed and exhausted, these same people will greet Easter with a giddy joy unsurpassed. Friends, however you prepare and participate in the coming days, may your Holy Week be blessed. May you, like Bartimaeus, the worthy child, have your eyes opened once again. And the moving forward suggestion for this Saturday before Holy Week, take time to prepare for Holy Week. Now, as we near the end of this program and the end of this week, let's turn to the commentary for Sunday, March 29th, which is Palm Sunday. It begins with a passage from Matthew 26, verse 30. When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The first Palm Sunday was a riot, the double entendre that descriptor is intended. While many of our churches remember the day with mostly placid parades, the arrival of Jesus in Jerusalem would have been more celebratory than solemn. In 2018, in response to the shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, demonstrations were organized by students across the country on the Saturday before Palm Sunday. The congregation I served gathered on Friday to make signs and then marched together the following day for sensible protections against gun violence. On Palm Sunday, as we paraded through the street on the way to the church, the movement felt different. Walking on asphalt 2 days in a row held a particular resonance. There was a connection between our work of worship and our work for justice. I wonder how often our Palm Sunday observances reflect both of these aspects. And now I'll read from today's Gospel from Matthew. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus said, "You say so." But when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many accusations they make against you?" But he gave him no answer, not even to a single charge, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now at the festival, the governor was accustomed to release a prisoner for the crowd, anyone whom they wanted. At that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Jesus Barabbas. So after they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" for he realized that it was out of jealousy that they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that innocent man, for today I have suffered a great deal because of a dream about him." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus killed. The governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what should I do with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" All of them said, "Let him be crucified." Then he asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." The two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The moving forward question for this Palm Sunday: what values were at stake for Jesus' marchers on Palm Sunday, and how are those values still at stake today? The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.